At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
What is next in the case of Alec Murdaugh? Is there going to be an appeal? Well, you can almost bet pretty much anything on it. As, of course, we heard in the press conference the other day, and I just realized in the cornucopia of audio that we've been putting out for you over the last week or so involving the Alec Murdaugh case, the press conference from Dick Harpulatin and Jim Griffin, we haven't posted that yet, and I apologize. It's been a crazy week for me here at the studio. We've literally moved studios in the middle of all of this stuff going on. So I've really been trying to stay on this as best as I can, but I was just going through stuff today. I'm like, I don't think we've ever actually posted that. So if you've been listening to the podcast here and relying on this for all your information, I want to make sure you're getting all of it. And I'm sure we're going to hear more about an appeal in the coming days. But until then, this is what Alec Murdaugh's attorneys had to say after the verdict was read just the other day. Take a listen.
Am I supposed to introduce everybody?
Yes.
Okay. So y'all spread out behind me. Where is everybody? Good afternoon, afternoon. I'm Dick Harpulatin. This is Jim Griffin. That's Emily Dale. That's Maggie Fox. That's Holly Miller. And this is Phil Barber. We are Alec Murdaugh's defense team. We're able to answer your questions. We're not going to make a statement. I know y'all don't want one. So, anybody got a question?
Do you think it was a mistake to put Alex Murdaugh on the stand?
No. Next.
Mr. Harpulatin, why did you object to that juror being dismissed yesterday?
Why didn't I?
Why didn't you?
Well, for two reasons. One, she admitted she talked to other people about the case, but not specifically. But technically, I think the judge had leeway to excuse her, but she clearly, and after we interviewed her back in chambers, in my mind had not made up her mind, and I thought that was important.
Do you think she would have held your case?
I don't know. She didn't express an opinion to us. She said she was open. She had made up her mind.
Mr. Harpulatin, the defense has made a great deal of points about SLED in their handling of the investigation. Your position in the Senate, do you feel there's an opportunity to address that from a legislative standpoint?
I think there were significant issues, but I won't be addressing that in the Senate unless it comes up in a bill. I'm not going to mix this role with my role as a senator. I would not do that.
Why do you think that the prosecutor did that penalty in this case? And what do you make about the judge's comments after the verdict that he agreed with the jurors?
Go ahead.
You need a death penalty.
What now?
Death penalty question.
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Why didn't they seek the death penalty?
Well, you know, I'm somebody that's prosecuted and defended a bunch of death penalty cases. And clearly, you never do it in a circumstantial case. All it because you're not, 99 times out of 100, a jury's not going to sentence somebody to death without a, I saw him do it, he confessed, or, you know, great forensic evidence at the minimum. They had none of that here. Secondly, in a death penalty case, it gives us the ability to individually voir dire jurors, which would have been very helpful here. The prosecution obviously didn't want that. So I don't disagree with, I mean, if I'd been prosecuting this case, I probably wouldn't have brought it, but based on, you know, what we heard was presented to the Colleton County Grand Jury by Detective Owen that Jim crossed, blood spatter that didn't exist, testimony about guns that was wrong. I mean, I can go through the litany with you. Going back to his question, I think SLED needs to do some self-examination on the forensic processing. They did not. I mean, one of the things we complained about was that Maggie's phone would have had all her GPS data on it if they processed it within 5 days. And they because they didn't, the GPS data got overridden. I mean, it was just one, which would have been helpful to Alec. It's fingerprints, footprints, and all kinds of forensic things that weren't done. So what was the question about the judges? He's entitled to his opinion.
Mr. Harkin, can you expect an appeal anytime soon?
10 days, we'll be filing an appeal.
What do you believe the strongest grounds for an appeal?
What'd you say?
What do you believe the strongest grounds for an appeal are?
It was the admission of all the financial crime evidence. And that was offered up, you know, as evidence of motive, that because he was confronted about one financial transaction involving attorney's fees by the chief accountant of the law firm, that was being offered as motive for why he would go home and kill his wife and son, which we thought was illogical and ludicrous. And there really was no evidence linking one to the other, and we did not think it should come in. Not only did that come in, but every other financial misdeed that they could bring in over the last 10 or 15 years was allowed in. And we think that we strongly objected. We respect the judge's decision, but we believe that that was an erroneous decision. And we believe that the judge was somewhat misled, because at the conclusion of the case, when Mr. Metters is up on his rebuttal argument in front of the jury, he says to the jury, "Oh, forget about all that motive evidence. We don't have to prove motive. We just have to prove malice," which is right. But why did they go to all the effort to prove motive when at the end they say, "You don't have to believe us on our motive theory"? But by then they had cast Alec as a despicable human being, and that was the reason they offered it in the first place. And we think the appellate courts will take a strong look at that. We feel like that is a very solid ground for an appeal, and we're going to pursue that.
Looking back at the last 6 weeks long trial, would you guys do anything different in the last 6 weeks?
No.
Anything in this trial?
No. I mean, look, once the judge, first of all, we believe if the judge was going to let that stuff in, it should have been limited to the Ferris case, which is what they were asking him about on Monday on the fee. Number two, Tinsley, the person that made the motion to compel to be heard on Thursday, Dawes Cook, Alex's lawyer, both agreed there wasn't going to be any storm or Armageddon or anything that was going to happen that Thursday. The judge might have issued an order, which months down the line might have posed a problem. So once they got that character in it, character information is he's a thief, he's a liar, then it dictated this jury had to think he was a despicable human being and not to be believed. So it was about character, it wasn't about motive. So as a result, our options were limited. Should he take the stand? Well, you know, we debated that. He always wanted to take the stand, but once that information was in, I mean, he had to take the stand to explain the kennel video, the lie, if you will. He had to, but he had no credibility. His credibility had been stripped away by the financial misdeeds. Yes.
How is Buster doing, and why did he choose not to speak in the sentencing?
We could have had Mother Teresa up there speaking on behalf of Alec at sentencing. I mean, he was getting a double life sentence. That was expected. I mean, this was Judge Newman. He's a very stringent punisher when it comes to crimes and sentences. I mean, that was never in dispute. And so for Buster to get up and speak on his dad's behalf would not have made a difference. And why do you want to put that kid through more trauma than anybody that we, you know, can imagine has ever been through?
Have his feelings about his dad changed at all? Trauma?
What's that? You know, I can't speak to Buster's feelings. I can tell you this. There was a lot of effort by the state to convince the family that Alec is the murderer. The family came to trial every day for 6 weeks expecting to hear proof positive that he killed Maggie and Paul, something that they had not heard before. After 6 weeks of trial, they came away more convinced that he did not do this, and they are steadfastly in his camp and support him, and that's where they stand.
What's next for Alex?
Well, Alex will be leaving shortly to go to Columbia to R&E, it's called, where he'll be at the South Carolina Department of Corrections. He'll be evaluated. That's about a 30-day process, and then he'll be sent to wherever the correctional facility that they assign him to.
Would they ask for any special security measures for him?
No, I don't think. You know, Alec was not optimistic that with all of the scrutiny and press and all of his bad acts being out in the public in the world, you know, media domain, that he could get, you know, a jury to put out all the noise and just focus on the murder. And so coming in, he was somewhat pessimistic. He became optimistic as we got through the process, but I got to tell you, and all you reporters, you know the whole story, I'm sure. And if you're sitting on that jury, they heard everything that would be in an HBO documentary, a Netflix documentary about the Murdoch family dynasty downfall, except the Stephen Smith matter. I mean, so we were hoping to get a jury to put all, you know, that could ignore the noise, focus on the murder, and end up trying a case that they could have watched on Netflix.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, not outmatched. I mean, look, they won this case the day the judge bought into letting them put every piece of, you know, stealing from kids who lost their mother, from somebody with pancreatic cancer, somebody that's a paraplegic. I mean, all of that 2.5 weeks, by the time they got done with it, it didn't matter about final argument. It didn't matter about what we put up. They would never, ever, ever acquit him after that. Last question.
What your grounds for appeal will be? You said it's going to be 10 days. Can you lay out your arguments on that?
We'll file something, not in 10 days, but we'll file a notice of intention to appeal. Then we've got 30 days, I think, to file a brief.
Yeah, so you file the notice within 10 days. You got to get a transcript.
Oh, that'll take a while.
That'll take months before they type up everything. And then we start briefing.
Are you all going to handle the appeal?
Yes.
And the U.S. Supreme Court.
And the U.S. Supreme Court, if necessary. That's correct. Doyle.
Oh, there's a huge federal issue. That's why I got so animated, and the judge told me to sit down. Part of the trial is the state asking questions of Alec about why he did not come forward and tell law enforcement where he was at the time of the Kennel video. And that was after he was arrested. And there's U.S. Supreme Court cases are clear that post-arrest silence cannot be used against you. And that, I mean, that is a classic violation of the Fifth Amendment. And we feel strongly that if we lose at the state courts, we'll have success at the federal
court. Can you tell us about the plea negotiations before trial?
No.
There were no plea negotiations.
Because there weren't any.
They never offered him anything.
Not our job to find the real killer. If they had taken fingerprints, if they'd gotten footprints, if they hadn't destroyed, if they'd preserved Maggie's phone with her GPS, if they had not, I mean, they misrepresented to the grand jury that they had a shirt with his blood on it, if Owen had opened his email, he says he didn't get, would have told him a year before that there was no human blood on that T-shirt. I mean, it was a comedy of errors in terms of forensics on this. So, do I have faith that they would find the real killer? No.
We don't know.
What? Last question. Say that one more time.
Did you support putting Alec Murdoch on the stand?
There was no choice.
Why?
Because he had been made out to be a monster who stole from children and crippled people. And is crippled not? That's not a politically correct word. I'm sorry, I'm an old guy. Crippled people who had just done horrible, despicable things. And he had to try to push back on that. And I mean, if he'd let that lay without taking the stand, he was toast.
Thank you.
taking the stand, you know, could he pull it off? Apparently didn't.
In hindsight, do you regret not asking for a change of venue in this case?
Not really, because we checked. I mean, we did focus groups in this case in a county way far away from here. 8 of the 10 people on the 2 focus groups knew all about this case. I mean, there was nowhere you could go that you could find, we believe you could find, a jury that knew, that didn't know, hadn't watched TV, hadn't read the stuff you write, or the stuff, the Twitter stuff. And by the way, one of the good pieces of information, now that this trial is over, Griffin can start tweeting again.
That's right.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We, of course, keeping you up to date here on everything as this case, it ain't done. It's going to continue to unfold. This is just the surface. How far, how deep, how much are they going to prosecute Alec before the state just says, you know what? Stop wasting our time and money. You just go over there and stay locked up. I don't know, because there's only so much money he has, and a lot of it's already being distributed amongst the defendants in civil cases. But who knows? Maybe they will find more. And imagine that could be a possibility. And if it's an offshore account, which it likely is, who knows? Who really knows? You can follow me on Twitter @TonyBPod. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.